Hello, gorgeous.
I would make a great queen because I am so stubborn.
Well, when I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better.
Never take a learning opportunity away from another student. No matter how smart you need everyone to think you are.
I am dancing a bright beam of light.
Teen is your family. You have to protect them from those guys, okay?
Make the money. Don't let it make you.
You had me at hello.
And most importantly, you must always have faith in yourself.
This is I'm Here for the Food.
What's up, everybody? This is I'm Here for the Food, where we discuss topics that feed your mind, your spirit, and your soul. I'm Melissa. I want to welcome you guys to the show. Being in quarantine for day 568,283, I don't even know what it is, I have been thinking a lot about how much I took for granted the ease in which I called up a girlfriend or a group of friends to go hang out. The ease in which we go to a restaurant, you know, for happy hour after maybe a particularly hard day, just to have a couple of cocktails that would usually turn into about five or six. The ease in which I would just decide to go to one of my favorite restaurants like Katsuya out here in LA to go have a baked crab hand roll or go to Crustaceans for the drunken crab and garlic noodles or Mastro's for a steak. God, I'm so hungry. Anyways, I digress. I've just been thinking about all of the things that, you know, you, me, all of us kind of took for granted as something that we could just do without even giving too much thought. And now we think about it with a sense of peril attached to it. You know, what happens if I go outside without a mask? You know, when are restaurants going to open? When are businesses going to open? When is my business going to, when am I going back to work? Like, we have this unending question of when and why and how and what the fuck. But going back to the whole friendship thing, one thing that doing this show online has afforded me the luxury of doing is connecting with my friends who live in different parts of the world. I spent the better part of 16 years living in New York City. So I have a ton of friends in the tri-state area and all up and down the East Coast for that matter. So today I wanted to indulge a little bit in how much I miss some of my friends and connecting with my friends that normally have such busy lifestyles that we might be able to say, hey, you know, just checking in kind of text. But now, you know, we've got the time to really devote to talking. So I wanted to invite three friends to share the episode with me today. One of them is Poe Johnson, who you guys might know from Lala's Full Court Life. She is one of Lala Anthony's best friends, and she's also one of mine. Her and I have known each other for, God, 16 years now. And I'm going to also invite my girlfriend, Tahiri, who you all might know very well just from Love and Hip Hop and all of her magazines and her calendars. She's an entrepreneur. She's a fabulous woman. Just recently, she got a lot of slack in the comment section on the Shade Room when she responded to a tweet from Lil Baby that basically said, if a woman can't, pay for a rental or a car, insinuating if she doesn't have the credit to do so, then she's no good. And Tahiri agreed with it. And a lot of people came for her neck. A lot of women came for her neck for that way of thinking. So I want to give her the opportunity and the platform to explain what she meant by that and why that might be her thought pattern. But then we haven't had a dick in the box episode for a while. And so I wanted to invite Mano to join us. Mano is also on reality TV. He's also a rapper and also an entrepreneur and a good friend of mine. So without further ado, I'm going to bring the three of them onto this Zoom call. And I hope that at the very least, we entertain you guys. So stay tuned.
Hey, I'm stressed. I need a drink.
Oh my fucking God.
Tahiri, you in Jersey?
Yeah, I'm in Jersey. Where the fuck you think I am, Mano?
Everybody's in LA.
Oh, well, I didn't get stuck out there. I didn't want to.
Mano, are you here?
No, I'm in Jersey.
Okay, so you guys are in Jersey and Poe is in LA, even though I barely see the bitch.
Because yeah. I'm scared.
What?
I'm scared.
Scared to do what?
To catch the Rona, dog.
Scared of what?
Scared of the Rona.
How are you going to catch the Rona coming over to my house?
No, it's from getting from where I am to your house. I got to get in an Uber. I got to go out in the elevator where it's like 3 or 4 people. I'm not scared of your house. And you're not coming to get me. So
I will come and get you. You know what? Next time, I'm going to come and get you.
She needs to come get you. She needs.
As a matter of fact, your apartment looks really, really dope. So I am definitely going to come.
With a bottle of red wine. If I knew
my shit is fly.
I knew you was gonna say with the bottle of red wine. I knew
my shit is fly.
Oh my god. Listen, let me tell you something, okay? Quarantine Chronicles, like this is red wine is what has gotten me through, but it's also what's made me extra fluffy, hence the fucking 3-day fast. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so listen, let's talk about how everybody's been surviving quarantine. Mano.
What's up, baby?
Stop phone boning. Okay.
Is that what they call that?
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Look at that smile, though.
Is that what they call? I like to smile. I'm a smiling nigga.
Okay. How have you been holding up during quarantine? And has it put a damper on your love life?
Love life. I ain't really have a love life.
Wait.
Did you have?
All right. Me too. I thought he done had like 2 relationships since the last year that I had.
That's a lie. I only had one. That's a whole lie.
I've been
chilling. I've been working out. I've been staying busy. I managed to keep myself busy. I feel like the time that we got right now is time that we could get to do some of the things that we wanted to do and didn't finish. Like I was working on a book before, and now I got time to finish it. I got 2 TV show things that I was working on. That I actually got a deal for. Well, I'm working out a deal for right now. So it's a lot of things that I was trying to do before that I was putting off, you know. And now I actually got time to really do that. Like being alone don't really bother me. I've been through far worse. This is light. I'm in the confines of my own home. I got a lot of space. I got TVs.
Yeah.
That you're finally watching.
Wi-Fi, you know, and I'm working out. I'm eating better.
This really altered things for a lot of people. I know a lot of people that have started doing 5-mile walks every single day.
I've been running.
Mm-hmm. I've been
jogging.
Like trimmed down.
What do you wear when you run? I'm curious to know. Like, do you wear Tim's and basketball shorts?
Is that what you view me? Is that how you view me?
They know boxers and briefs.
I only wear boxer briefs.
All right.
Okay.
The time is cool for me, though. I don't have a problem with it, though. Like, you know, so for most people, it's like they never really had time to be alone. So it's like it bothers them. It's like they can't take it. It's like, oh, my God.
I agree.
You know.
Okay, so question for you guys. Do you guys know anybody personally that's in a relationship right now who's quarantined with their spouse or significant other that is going to come out of this apart? I know at least 3 couples that are breaking up as a result of having to have spent this much time with each other. One of them literally said, Melissa, I don't love him. And I'm like, whoa. You've been with him for 10 years. You own 3 together. What the fuck are you guys going to do after this is done? She was just like, I cannot imagine spending the rest of my life with this motherfucker. I can't. And I was
look at it as a blessing. It's a blessing. I mean, it took you a quarantine. It took you the pandemic to realize that you don't want to be with someone. I think this is a trying time for relationships because we're always on the move. So we schedules and stuff. So in a relationship, I'm assuming because, you know, I'm single right now. Everybody's in and out. Right. And schedules.
You was in a relationship before?
Yeah, I was. When? They know for your information. You know, I keep my shit very private.
When was this?
Mind your business. Just know I've been celibate since October.
That's not a long time.
Well, I mean, that means I was in a relationship prior to that.
We didn't know this.
Oh, well, I didn't know you was in one either.
This is so good.
I wasn't. Like,
did you say you was in one?
That was a long time ago.
Oh, how long? Because I was just watching you the other day.
You watching me the other day?
I was watching one episode and you was in a relationship or something.
Nah, that was a year and a half ago.
That was a long year ago. Shit, I'm my shit.
Wait, but Tahiri Sullivan, Mano, you fucking?
No, I promise.
Why are you stuttering?
Listen, of course I am.
So you have to have a consistent one because you're not just letting anybody get that deep, right?
Or three consistent, right?
No.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens, but what I'm saying is this: lately, I've changed.
I decided to do
less quantity and more quality.
Woo! Talk your shit.
I decided to not be as because I had a conversation with somebody. They told me that penis is easy and vagina is hard. So I didn't want to be easy no more. I decided to not be as easy as people thought I am or think I was. So I decided to do less quantity and more quality, and that means, you know, we gotta brush off a lot of the junk.
Mano, I must say,
what's up, baby?
You move like in gross. Silence because I mean, you know, you probably he moves around like a sniper, ladies, because I don't hear shit about Mano out here just letting it all hang out. Like you're not out here swinging.
He's stealth with his shit.
I don't really hear, but then you might bring up Mano in a conversation and girls would be like, and you'd be like, whoa, what does that mean? He's moving around like a sniper. He's not out. Well, sniper. That we know of. You don't,
he's
you
a
don't
ninja with his shit.
You know what it is though? I don't speak my business.
Yeah. That's what a real man's supposed to do. Not speak his business.
My thing is it's like I might be on a couple of lists, right? I might be on a few lists, right? It might be a crew of girls that may have me on a list and be like, man, Mano could get it. He can get it. I don't want to mess that up by being on a Breakfast Club or being on this show talking about what I done did.
You ain't supposed to. It would be such a turnoff for a man to be talking about.
Yeah, I mean, real G's move in silence like lasagna.
You know what I'm saying?
Whoa.
Come on with the bars.
I'm just saying, it could have been a rapper, but I went in a different way. Okay, wait. So let's hit a topic because I want Mano's opinion on this. Let's hit a topic that just, you know, made the rounds recently, Tahiri. On the Shade Room.
Oh.
No, let's get into this because this is, I want you to be able to clarify, which both me and Poe understood what you meant. But on the Shade Room, Lil Baby, they posted a tweet that he'd
the
sent.
The Baby.
No, it's Lil Baby.
It was Lil Baby.
It was little? I thought it was the.
I guess that's why
not everybody the. Your it's fucking little. Neck.
Lil Baby.
Okay, Lil Baby.
Said in the tweet, if she can't get the rentals and spots in her name, she no good. And Tahiri's response was true story.
Super true.
But I don't think you meant it.
Well, we've got the person right here.
Yeah.
I meant that shit.
Okay, right. so when you read it, what did you think?
I understood. Oh,
well, hold on. So let her say it, and then I want to get it then.
I read into what he was saying. I don't think he was saying specifically, I need a rental, bitch, and if you can't get it, then you're no good. I need a crib on your name. That's not what I didn't read it as if that's what he was asking for. I read it as if a woman has bad credit, then she's no good. And I didn't read it as no good as in you're no good as a person. You don't got your shit together.
Mm-hmm.
So as a woman, I believe that a woman should have her shit together. Mm-hmm. We women run around here expecting so much from a man, but ain't got shit to bring to the table. And for ladies, I feel like bring more than just your vagina to the relationship. All right, you cute, and then what? Mm-hmm. What happens if life happens, right? So it's more than just a man leaving you for the blonder chick, the thicker chick, the younger chick, the older chick. It's about life. What if that something happens to that person? Did you prepare yourself? What did you learn from that individual that you're with? If a man around me is getting money,
mm-hmm.
I want to know how he's getting it and learn. Teach me something. That's what relationships, that's what two people, even if we're fucking, I'm supposed to be getting certain things from you. Not just the intimacy that is going to help me prepare that even if me and you don't stay together, I'm going to take the positive from whatever it is, that interaction or that transaction that we had. So I believe that these young women, that internet, the internet, social media, motherfucking IG got them fucked up. It's not about a nice view, a little dog and a fucking popping pair of shoes. What else? And yeah. To me, that's what he meant. Like, if I was to be in a situation and I needed her to get a car under her name, could she do it? Mm-hmm. Would I do it for a man? Not now. Have I done it? Yes. And yeah. When I left the relationship and he stopped paying the note because he was being petty, I left that nigga clicking his heels. Mm. His Nikes?
Yeah.
He know, ask him. Yeah. I bet you he won't rap about that.
Right.
Oh, shots fired.
Ooh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Ooh. Mino.
That sounded very personal.
No, I'm just saying. Truth
comes from a personal place. Okay, so the tweet, do you agree with it? And do you understand what he meant by it?
Yeah, I understand what he meant by that, you know?
Do you agree with it?
There's two type of people that you come in contact with when you have relationships in the world. There's assets and there's liabilities, mm-hmm. right? You either are asset to somebody or you're a liability. Like, so I like to be an asset in people's lives. I don't want to be a liability. You know, that's corny. So the women, especially like coming from the street, we need liability. I mean, we need assets. So the woman should have, what he's saying is she should have a value other than just, you know, she's a pretty face with a fat ass. Mm-hmm. We should be able to use each other. We should be able to help one another. You know what I mean? Especially from a mentality coming from the streets. So I know the type of mentality he has, because if it's like, if I'm out here doing dirt and if I'm out here coming and my shit ain't good and you ain't good, then we two pieces of shits. And two pieces of shits is like one big piece of shit. Like, it's not going to work. You understand what I'm saying? We all need help pulling one another up, you know? Yeah. So that's just the thing. So people looking at it too literal because everybody's so sensitive and everybody mm-hmm. want a cause. Everybody's mm-hmm. fighting for rights and, oh my God, he's downing women. And it ain't nothing to do with that.
Right.
Nothing
it's his language.
Yeah.
It's how he spoke about it. It was, right. He saw it from his perspective. You know, when I saw that coming from a hustler's daughter, my father sold drugs.
That's right.
My whole life, I didn't think about the man in the street that needs a woman with good credit because he can't get on paper. I didn't think about that. And I probably should have been my first thought because that's where I come from and I've seen it my whole life. I just thought about being a woman and being independent and how sexy that shit is to be able to do your own thing. And you know what? Believe it or not, ladies need to know that when you step into a relationship and you got your shit together, it just makes a man want to do so much more for you. You don't even have to ask for it.
Right. Right.
Well, that's the fact. I don't know about that. I mean, I've run into this, you know, I just started dabbling back into men not too long ago.
Let's hear about it.
I'm just saying, like, the more independent I become, which I've always been, and the more successful I become, the less, like, guys are I don't want to say intimidated,
it is.
You know what I call those?
Like, pussy. Like, they fucking don't like it, like, at all.
But Paul,
go ahead, Mano.
Paul, most you gotta understand. So it's not a lot of niggas that you're gonna come to that's strong and is turned on by that. Most men are weak. Most men are weak. Most men, they hide behind.
Wait. Let's not refer to them as men. Let's refer to them as males. Well, you know, because men, a real man wants an equal partnership with.
I don't believe in 50-50.
Right, but here's the thing. I'm still call them men, but some people haven't walked into their greatness yet and haven't understood what it is to be turned on by an independent woman because they grew up feeling like they need to mask their insecurities with trinkets like jewelry and cars and all that type of thing. So it's a lot of niggas that's successful like that. Wasn't even in the women until they got famous.
Women weren't into them.
When they got famous or they got a few dollars, they try to let that speak for them. So it's not really, it's the insecurity, it's them, is that they don't have the personality or the strength or the courage or the confidence to be with a woman that's independent or strong and is turned on by an independent woman, be like, damn, I want her. Because they already come from a place of inferiority. Like, they already feel less than because they were sitting back watching independent women from a distance and saying, damn, I wish I could get her. No, I can't.
You know what? You also, know what I mean? as women, because we women are really strong, especially the independent ones, we have to allow a man to be a man regardless to how much we bring to the table. And I think some women take it overboard because, you know, we're super independent. So we're super, you know, we're aggressive. We in here. So we don't allow a man to be a man. And that also brings tension in a relationship.
Yeah.
I think that men that don't, that these men are like damsels in distress. Like they want to feel like they're uplifting your lifestyle. They want to feel like they're needed and not wanted. And I want to want and not need.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't believe in 50-50. I'm going to keep it hood with you. I don't believe in 50-50. I do come from the way I was raised, the man brings home the bacon and we women nurture the household. But, you know, I've kind of remixed what I was taught as a kid and then who I am today. And I try to kind of gel it together to create my own, fucking concoction of what my relationship at home should be like. Yeah. If I'm really fucking with a man, I'm speaking about what I expect or not, or how I feel about these things. Cause I mean, there is no really definition on how two people should be in their own households. That's up to you.
It ain't no definition. You be
right. That's up to you.
It is. And y'all make the situation that best fits y'all. Period.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Tahiri, I want to ask you about your hashtag, I got me, and if that's what it's all related to. But Maino, I wanted to ask you before we said all of this, you know, as a guy who is in the entertainment industry, who has made a significant amount of money and mm-hmm. who's highly visible, mm-hmm. what kind of women does that attract? Not you as the human being, but all of the surface stuff that people see, being the artist, being the famous guy, being the guy on TV, the one with the entourage, the nice cars. What does that attract? Because you were talking about quality over quantity now. So I'm assuming it was quality or quantity, I should say. What kind of women were you attracting?
For me, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Like, it was a time when I dealt with like professional women, like lawyers, doctors, just professional women. I've dealt with like women in the workforce that had careers that was very, you know, educated and stuff like that. And then it was a time when those trips to Colombia just hit the market and things changed. And then I was like, whoa, what the? Around 2012, my life changed. It was like, whoa, what's going on? There was something happening in the country where it was just like these little legs and these big butts. And it was just like,
I love you.
Kind of weird, but I kind of like it. Like, what is going on? And I found myself in a strip club and I woke up and like 5 years had passed. And it was just like every girl I had came from that. And I was like, what happened to the lawyers?
The titles,
like, what happened to the doctors? Like, what happened to the professional women? Like, every time I turn around, this girl is from the club and she's lit. And this one is that. And this one is a Instagram. And this one is a model. This one is a wannabe actress. And I'm just like, oh, and she's a bartender. And she's, I'm like,
did you say the social media changed the game just in terms of what women aspired to be, where at one point they aspired to be professional women and now all they aspire to be is an IG model with a fat ass and a little waist and will do anything to get it?
Yeah, well, a lot changed. So, you know, with the social media, definitely. And then, you know, the advancement of like plastic surgery. So now the way we look at women are different, because it was a time when what I look at is being like a nice body. When we first saw that, it was like the bodies is like too perfect. It was mm-hmm. like, man, that looks crazy. But it's desensitized us to the point where girls is running up on me like, man, I'm all natural look. And I'm like, oh, you need a couple sessions.
You need what?
You need a couple sessions.
Come on, Nick. Man, you know, these girls are trying to look like Melissa and Tahiri,
need a couple sessions. Some of these girls need a couple trips. You know?
Okay, so wait. Yeah. I'm going to ask you about that because you're the TV exec. So you have to see this stuff like daily, but you have to assess it through a professional lens. But recently on Angela Yee's podcast, Lip Service, she had Lisa Ray, and Lisa Ray said the Kardashians are single-handedly responsible for changing the standard of beauty to being an an unnatural level of perfection achieved through surgery. And she was like, now you've got a bunch of big butts, skinny ass legs, whittled down waists walking around, and everybody looks like they went to the same surgeon. Is that kind of what you're talking about, Maina?
I don't agree with Lisa Ray because
you know
it comes from the strip club. It comes from the girls, you know, getting into that for the competition of trying to be the hot girl that everybody was throwing money at. It comes directly from that, in my opinion.
Me too.
I don't put it on a Kardashians. I think the Kardashians basically was following what was going on. They was following the trend. And because their platform is bigger, because there's like, it's like the dog chasing the tail, right? It's like they trying to look black or do what the black girls are doing, or the Hispanic girls. And then the young black and Spanish girls is looking at them. So it's like it's going in a circle.
Yeah, this definitely started at the strip club. I remember the first stripper, I was the only girl with guys, as the usual. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I was even old enough to be at the strip club. And they would put me in a section where they weren't allowed to serve me drinks. And there was this one stripper who walked out. Her name was Chloe. It was this back in the Sue's days. I don't know if you remember
Sue's Rendezvous.
Yeah. And I remember Chloe came out, and that's when titties were like breasts were like the only things people were getting. And now this girl came out and her waist was tiny and her ass was fake, but it was huge. And I was like, what in the world? And then after that, it was just everywhere. The minute that, you know, women, that was the thing, everybody went out and got one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Real life question, Tahiri. I have got to ask you this.
What?
Since there has been such a dramatic increase in surgeries, especially surgeries to alter the lower half of a woman's body, mm-hmm. have you ever yourself been accused of having gotten?
Yes.
All I'm the just time. Listening here.
There's
I'm just
conversations.
Like, oh,
there's
the you, original. What
yeah, exactly.
I know. Me too.
There's conversations at the beach. You too, Paul? There's been conversations that I've caught, like at the beach, where people are like, "Nah, nah, nah," and I'm just walking by, and I got hurt. I got hurt at work one time and fell on my butt, and I got bruised. Like, my whole cheek was purple, so they had to rush me into the ER. Mm-hmm. And the doctor came back twice to have the conversation with me because they had to inject my butt cheek to dissolve, like, you know, it was knotted, and I had hit my cheek hard. Yeah. So they laid me on my stomach, and the doctor came in and she said, "Tahiri, you know, we're going to have to stick a needle in your cheek, and we want to know if that's okay. Is it going to like puncture anything?" Like, and I'm looking at her like, "Nah, just go stick the needle in. I'm in pain." And the doctor was like, "Okay." So she goes out and she comes back in again 30 minutes later. She's like, "Okay, I'm going to ask you one more time. We are not responsible for what happens when we stick the needle into your, you know, left cheek." And I was like, "Oh my God, like, are you, just ask me." I didn't have my butt done. Like, I don't have anything done, just sticking, I'm in pain. So they could not, they had to ask me, make sure that my cheeks weren't fake.
It's gotten to the point where people don't even know how
to assess. I've had people ask me, "Where did I get it?
Yeah,
where real did you, from I'm pain. Like, my shoes," and they're like, "No, your butt."
Yeah. Okay. So listen, Poe, as the TV executive, I'm so happy that I get to say that about my friend now.
But we've known each other. I've always been in TV.
I mean, I know, but you know, some people, you know, shit happens.
I got it. I get it.
Now you're back. Mm-hmm. You have an office and, you know, and staff and shit like that. So I'm really proud of you. But from a TV exec, like, what is your lens from like a professional standpoint in terms of women, standard of beauty, and how it kind of correlates to what you do for a living?
That's a really broad question.
I know, I meant it to be so.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, sorry, my emails are going off.
Put them to bed.
Yeah, I'm about to silence it right now. I just think that, you know, our job as with such a mass medium, like, our job is to kind of follow the culture, create the culture.
BET. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, it's not our job to say this is a good or bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's our job to be like, all right, well, this is what's hot right now, or this is what could be hot. But if it's like, and I'm an advocate, like, whatever makes you feel beautiful, you know, go for it. I myself personally, I don't think I've ever been with a girl with a fake ass. But, you know, they're so good now. I don't know.
It's not fake. It's not fake.
I mean, not fake, but like our adjusted. Maybe I have. I don't know.
I mean, there's different things. I think that there's different things. You can either get shots or you can get a Brazilian
fat transfer.
Butt lift or fat transfer. Or whole, there's been girls who had like the whole implant in their.
I don't like those. Those are not good.
Those are fucking crazy.
No, but yeah, like just coming from like a, it's. I mean, what is it? We did do a really dope doc.
Documentary. About Killer Curves.
Yeah, about the dangers. I was in it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we about the, yeah. Oh, yeah, we were. Both of y'all was in it.
Hey, come on.
Yeah, we did that really dope job to express, and that's our job as a meeting, to express the truth of what could possibly happen if it went the wrong way, you know? So me, as far as judging, I can't, but I know what I prefer, and I know the story that I can tell. I can control that narrative. But
talk about it, Paul.
Yeah, but like, if you want to do it, do it. But I mean, it might have been one girl that I smashed and she had a fake ass.
Okay, listen. I'm not gonna even let you go down that lane because you and Mano exchanging fucking stories.
No, we were going to I got me.
Yeah.
What's up, foodies? I have another deal for you and a new favorite thing. Mother's Day is around the corner. I know, like, where did the time go, right? And I wanted to share with you something that I bought for my mother last year. It is one of the most meaningful gifts that I thought that I could give to her. And, you know, our parents, they love to spend time with family and also their children. And right now might not be the easiest way for any of us to accomplish that. So I have you guys covered, all right? I have a very meaningful gift opportunity for you guys to take advantage of, and it's the chance to connect with loved ones through something called StoryWorth. All right. StoryWorth is a very fun and meaningful way to connect with loved ones, i.e. your parents, i.e. mom, that you don't get a chance to see very often. It's an online service that you can share with loved ones, where it asks you a bunch of thought-provoking questions that lead you right down memory lane and help you put together some personal thoughts. I wanted to share something that my mom wrote when we did this, when we did StoryWorth last year. One of the questions was, where did you go on vacation as a child? My mother responded, the only vacation I remember when I was a child was the one where I went to Spain, Barcelona, with a family friend. It was the first time I was on a plane and I threw up in my chicken salad. The beach was kind of rocky, but nice. And the cathedral, which is the only other thing that comes to mind, was beautiful. So that was my mother's response to one of the many questions that you're asked on the StoryWorth site. Every week, StoryWorth emails your family member different story prompts. Questions you've never even thought to ask, like, what have been some of the greatest surprises in life for you? Or what's one of the riskiest things that you've ever done? Reading the weekly stories is a lot of fun, and it kind of makes your family feel a lot closer even when you're not together. After 1 year, StoryWorth will compile every answered question and photo you chose to include in a beautiful keepsake book that's shipped for free. Your family will have it forever, and it is a cherished item. So here's how you guys save. Go to StoryWorth.com. That's StoryWorth.com and enter the code Foodie. That's going to give you $10 off of your first order. All right. That's StoryWorth.com. And the code that you enter is Foodie, FOODIE, for $10 off of your first order. I am telling you, I did this last year with my mom, and it is really incredible. She has the keepsake book with her, and I'm so glad that she has that with her, just so she can walk down memory lane and just look at the stories that we exchanged with one another. It's a really beautiful book. It's a really beautiful item that you can give your mom for Mother's Day, rather than racking your brain as to what you can buy her online. StoryWorth.com/foodie, FOODIE, will give you the perfect gift to give mom this coming Mother's Day.
Let's go back a little bit, because I wanted to talk to Tahiri about the hashtag I got me.
Yes.
And, you know, and as it relates to your mentality when you responded to Lil Baby's tweet, and understanding that it's like, you know, a woman's got to come to the table with as much as a man does. He should have the same expectations of her as she has of him, type thing. So why did you create I Got Me? Like, what was it a source? Did it come from a source of frustration?
No, there is no a woman should or a man should. Who, you know, like I said, nobody should. It has doesn't have to be equal. People just need to do their own thing. Mm. I Got Me has not much to do with relationship except for the relationship with yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that people are so, I think the world is so fucking asphyxiated and you have to be in a relationship. You have to have a significant other to be normal. If not, you're single. What's wrong with you because you're single? Mm-hmm. The I Got Me didn't come from nothing but me trying to encourage myself, remind myself on a daily basis when things go wrong, when people disappoint you, when businesses flop, when fucking you, you know, when you're on TV, whatever it is that you're into and the shit don't work, you have to be your own hype man. Mm-hmm. So I get up every morning and I have to remind myself that I got me, that if I don't have me, then who else is, you know, can't nobody take care of you better than you. That's, mm-hmm. that's for one. Mm-hmm. So it was more of a, me, like a reminder, like every time you doubt yourself, you got you type of thing. Mm-hmm. And in terms of relationships, yeah, if you're in a relationship, you got to understand people always say he completes me or he makes me happy. Why can't you do that for yourself? Mm-hmm. Newsflash people, if you're not 100, you walk into anywhere and try to be with somebody else, then your whole relationship is a hot mess because mm-hmm. can't nobody complete you but you. So I Got Me just has something to do with you encouraging you, you waking up with you, you understanding you first before you can go share yourself with the world.
Yeah.
And then that's why. So in being like Mano said, and being stuck in quarantine and the pandemic happening, I had started writing I Got Me. It's 31 affirmations and journal space. It started off by something I started to do after going to therapy. Therapist says, you know, write. And I'm like, I ain't got time for that. And eventually I started to write and I just decided to release this and I hadn't had time to finish it. So the book is ready now that I've been stuck in the house. The days I feel productive because I'm going with the flow, I start to create and finish these, you know, things that I haven't had time and projects that I haven't had time to finish. So it's coming out. It's called I Got Me. You know how to turn your pain into power. 31 affirmations in journal space. And it's a short read and it's every day a little snippet of some type of positivity and empowerment because it's hard out here. So I Got Me has nothing to do with a man, but you can kind of, you could flip it as, you know, how it works for you.
It applies on multiple
platforms.
Yeah,
and I've had a friend tell me that, that I'm putting that out in the universe and is that why certain things haven't worked out in terms of a man? And I had to check her real quick. I'm like, this chick.
Oh, yeah, because that's what they were trying to, you know, imply in the comment section of, see, that's why you single, bird mentality, single? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just
who
like.
Who says I'm single? I mean, now I am, but I wasn't a couple months ago and then maybe a year before that.
We didn't know this. We didn't know this.
That's what I'm saying, man. No, I move in silence too, like lasagna. What is it?
No, the thing is, I thought me and Tahiri was cool. Like, I thought I would know if you was relationship.
If y'all call me, I'm free with my shit. Ain't nobody, everybody assumes I'm single all the time. If somebody asks me, I'm going to tell you.
I'm going to say, you move like a ninja with your relationships as well.
Y'all already.
You move like a ninja too.
I definitely am a sniper. And let me tell you something. I'm going to fucking let you know what time it is if you ask me, but I'm not out here. Before I step out to the world with something, I got to know if it's real. Like, I'm not out here. And I don't got shit to prove to y'all.
I'm getting
to know somebody, right? Why should I be out here like, oh, but pretending to be couples goals? I don't even know this nigga. Okay. I haven't smashed yet. Okay, Why should I be out here holding hands?
I'm putting my spouse on the gram again.
So the last relationship that you had, you, me, and Poe were talking about this, and this is what gave me the idea of the show, and that also, and it also made me want to include Mano in this.
I was like, Mano, let's do it.
The last relationship that you were in, you're okay with, like, you know, not names or anything, but just like the talking about the demise of it. You're okay with that?
You're talking to me?
No, Tahiri.
Me. I don't remember which relationship we were talking about. Which
the
one?
The one in October.
No, listen, Mano. I'm 40 and I've been in a few relationships. And I've had some situationships and I've had some fuck ships. And then I had some ships that sunk that I don't even remember because I'm not taking that L.
I've had all those ships. All those fucking
ships. I mean, I'm 40. Some ships. Okay.
Yeah, some ships that I don't even know about.
Okay,
I'm not subscribing to that. What?
But you were saying that the relationship back in October pretty much ended because he had a hard time dealing with
what he'd signed up for by dating you.
No, yeah. that's happened like two times in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Because
I want to ask Mano if he experiences the same thing. So like, just give like, you know, like the kind of condensed version of, you know, beginning, middle and end.
Well, my last relationship, not in October, but my last relationship that was affected by my love and hip hop, my anything else that I'm doing in the public eye, it ended because he couldn't handle my Instagram. He couldn't handle shows. He couldn't handle all of a sudden everything that he was a big fan for. Like, he was my number one fan, my number one supporter. The minute, you know, he felt in love, I'm assuming, or the minute, you know, shit started to bother him, all of a sudden, all these things were wrong. He needed me to, you know, I made a decision. I asked, you know, we talked about it, and he signed up for something that he couldn't handle. So that's happened to me a few times in my lifetime.
Yeah. I call that, I love you. You're perfect. Now change. I think it was like the name of a play or something like that.
Yeah. Mano, it hurt me though, Mano. Don't awe me.
That hurt me. That just hurt me.
How you going to stop my bag?
That's what, like, I'm saying. That shit just fucking hurt me just now. I'm hurt for you.
You awe me like I'm not supposed, like I don't have feelings.
Exactly. What's wrong with you, nigga?
Mano, have you ever experienced that from the man's point of view? Like, started dating a woman?
I'm not scared like that.
No.
Hey, what you mean by that though?
No, meaning of gotten involved with a girl who started to exhibit jealous tendencies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know. Like, yeah, so I, you know, they start sending me, you know, screenshots of certain things or like links to videos or certain shit. I said, well, what you mean? Why would you say this? And you was like, acting like you was flirting with this girl. And I'm like, I'm just playing around. That's just the type
this
of
this my job. This is what I do.
This is what I do. Like, you know. So yeah, people always try to sign up for things and then they get
caught up.
They get a little caught up and then, you know, have things to say. But I don't it's not even we're not even gonna negotiate that. Mm. It's either you with it or you're not.
I give people options, Mano. I gave him an option. And the guy before that, I was like, yo, did you not know who you signed up to be with? Like, I have a huge personality.
Right.
That's the reason why I'm on TV. And how is it? Did you find me at church with a turtleneck and a skirt? Right. Like,
no,
I was
found
confused.
You by going to your DMs. Like,
he slid in my DMs. Like, round what are you talking about?
Yeah, right?
And then when I stepped up and said, what's up? They cut the check. Because, you know, I got upset.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, I'm disrespectful.
Oh, God.
Hilarious. You know what I'm saying? So it was annoying. Rough for me, though. It's rough because, again, a man is easily intimidated by just, you know, big everything. And I got big everything. Hey, and I got big everything.
Hey.
Now, listen, Paul, I know that you've had a similar situation where, like, you know, your career was on the ascent and the guy you were dating, his career was going down and his response to that was to start fucking other people and cheating and stuff like that. So,
who is this, Paul?
He doesn't even warrant like a name.
I remember seeing you on a date when
his name is fucking blank. Okay.
That was another dude. That was another dude.
Is this a male bashing show?
No, we love men.
No, listen, I'm celibate and I'm ready to get into another relationship soon. So go ahead.
No, it is. It's just girlfriends. Like, I know the pain that this particular person put my friend through. And so that's why I'm like, fuck him. He sucks. Okay. But when they were happy, I was like, hey.
Don't
fucking hurt my friend.
Come on, you know, ride or die.
Since your life is kind of, you know, you've become like the high level executive, like what's your love life looking like right now?
Oh man, it's the Sahara over here. Like,
it's
not because of the Rona either. It's just, but you know what? I took, after the last relationship I was in, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to be specific about that relationship or say anything negative or positive, but it was a learning experience. I went through a period and I've just now been able to talk about how bad I treated myself spiritually, mentally, physically. I like punished myself because that relationship ended so badly. And the only way I could cope with it was to just beat myself up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I did it. Because anybody who knows me knows
I'm
like...
a lot of people do that, though. I think a lot of people look at the failure of a relationship and internalize it. Like, where did I go wrong? Mm-hmm. Why did this happen? Shoulda, coulda, woulda. If I'd only done this. If I'd only said that. You know, whatever. And so
I think that
women really internalize the brunt of the, you know, like the we pay the penance for the failure of a relationship.
No, but don't get me wrong. I wasn't blaming myself.
Okay.
Hear what I'm saying. I was beating myself up because that's the only way I could cope with it.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Failure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I was punishing, like it was almost like masochism. Like, I'm literally hurting myself because this is the way I know how to cope.
Physically?
No. When I say hurting myself, like, I mean, like, I wasn't working out. I wasn't working out. I wasn't eating good. I was drinking. I don't even smoke. I was smoking. I was, like, out in the streets. Because this is the way I can... I was numbing myself because this person that was just there all the time was not there. Mm-hmm. So I had to fill that void with other things. And
well,
I
will tell you this. So this is for everybody who's listening. When you go through a breakup, and I was just talking to a clinical psychologist about this, a girlfriend of mine who I'm going to do an episode with, because she also worked with drug addicts through rehabilitation. Chemically, there is no difference between being addicted to drugs and being in love. There's no difference. Your brain doesn't process it as different. Mm-hmm. So,
it makes sense.
So when you are still in love, but that person's no longer there, you are going through physical withdrawal symptoms, okay? So your senses are more acute, hearing, sight, everything, your sense of smell, you're looking for them. Your heart is arrhythmic because it's literally looking for the heartbeat of that person that had constantly been there. That's why it's called a broken heart, because it's literally arrhythmic.
Yeah.
And so once I found out all this shit as it relates to your physical symptoms of withdrawal in a breakup, it made it easier to cope with what you are physically going through. So yeah, you want to numb the fuck out of yourself because you don't want to feel all these horrible feelings. You feel like you've been fucking run over by a truck and left in the fucking sewers, you know?
Yeah, So
you know, it makes sense why anybody would want to numb. So whenever, you know, I've got a girlfriend going through breakup, I'm just like, eat all the fucking cake, drink all the wine, lay on the couch, cry for fucking days.
I call that having a pity party.
Pity party. You really do have to do this for yourself because it's part of the healing process. It's part of the recovery. And when you're finally able to pick yourself up and stand up and brush yourself off and go for a walk, spend some time with friends and just let them know I'm kind of going to be a dick for a little bit because I'm in so much pain. But that's just, you know, that's kind of like where the friendship kind of comes in.
I had a dope ass support system. I ain't even gonna front. Like you, like even Mano, like La, everybody had my back and everybody was ready to cut that dude. So it made me feel better. It made me feel better. But in regards to my love life right now, it's you know how I'm always like I'm under construction.
Yeah.
Like
aren't we all though?
Yeah, but I just now got to the point where like fuck it, I'm about to say I remember how bad I am, like I remember how dope as fuck I am and like I'm a fucking catch, you know.
You but have I'm, to have so, a Issa Rae moment. You got to get here, bro.
No, but I also shut up. No, but I also I'm taking the time. Like I, you know, I just can't. I at one point I was like anybody who thought I was cute. I was like, well, what's up? But now, like,
so, quote, that thing never worked out with the homie. That thing never worked out? You never put that thing together?
Oh, man, come on, yo. He's a fucking mess.
Okay,
it worked out for the time that it needed to work out for, and then it was a rapola.
Okay, Mano, as a guy, do you go through this kind of stuff? Have you ever experienced heartbreak and withdrawal symptoms from a relationship ending to where you felt like you had to you were crying in your ice cream and had to medicate yourself? Like, sometimes we view men as being...
No. It happens. It happens. It happens, you know, like, sometimes with me, fast.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think I'm in love quick.
Oh, really? Wait, what's your sign?
Quick, I'm a Virgo, and then some. I mean, I'm joking when I say like really in love. Like I'll be like in high lust, right? But I can honestly say I never really, really been in love. Maybe really two or three times. But yeah, it happens. Feelings are feelings. It don't matter. Like, cause when you used to being around somebody or used to being with somebody, and that stops or that comes to a halt, you feeling some type of way. And then you looking at everything, you watching shit, mm-hmm. you doing things that you didn't even think you was capable of doing. Mm. You understand? Like you sitting back saying, I would never do that. But then when you're in a situation, you don't know what you're gonna do when love is involved, because you starting to do things that you wouldn't even thought was even in your character. Mm-hmm. You know, I got homies looking from fake pages and
circling the block.
Yes, talk about it.
Doing things that you wasn't even think that you. I watched a dude just knock on somebody's door the other day.
But you know, Mano, you know, in guys' defense, because I just realized that after all my fucking whack ass little relationships, men aren't really equipped to deal with emotion as we women are. We're a little bit, a tad bit stronger and more forgiving.
I think so.
You guys, like, when you were 16, somebody broke your heart, and like every other woman has paid for that ever since. You're like, dude, you were 16.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We try to ice up, right? So it's like, and we less forgiving. It's like, you did that?
But then you could do it. You could do it, but we can't do it.
Yeah,
It's lines. It's levels to the wrong. Like, it's little wrong, baby wrong, big wrong, and maybe medium wrong. Like, you did gigantic wrong. Like, how could you do that? Like, you crossed the lines, baby. Like, that's boundaries. Like, yeah, I know I did wrong, but you went over.
What's an example of that, though? Give me an example of, like, what's gigantic
an,
yeah, wrong.
What's an example of, like, a baby wrong?
I mean.
Fucking somebody else.
That doesn't sound like a baby wrong.
To me, that's a baby wrong.
Listen, homeboy
is a gigantic wrong.
No fucking period to a man. Once you give your pussy to somebody else while you're with him, that's gigantic wrong.
You let another nigga.
Yeah.
Hold on. You see what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. So you suck this nigga's dick. Wait, but then you could go fuck somebody, Mano, as a man. You can go ahead, wash it up, put some soap and water, and come back and be like, she didn't mean nothing.
It's nothing. It was just a fuck.
Exactly. She didn't mean
nothing. It was nothing. But you was laying in bed with this nigga.
Okay? That is amazing to me. It always amazed me how men
look at
the
exact
same situation and apply completely different standards to it, especially sex. Do you guys think, is it because as women,
we take something into our bodies?
Can I say this?
Yes, can I say this? Like, women, y'all gotta receive. It's like, you let a man go in you. Like, it's like, we turn into the biggest haters when that's done to us. Like, we can do it to everybody else. Like, I can sit up here and talk about, I done been with this dude, girl, or whatever. But when it's done to us, it's like the work. We can't deal with it. We can't take it.
I have a problem with a man going in somewhere else. What do you mean you get my strokes? What do you
see? That's a deeper conversation. I don't know if y'all really ready for that. I don't know if y'all really ready for the conversation that I got for y'all.
I got a problem with you making somebody feel the way you make me feel. You know what I'm saying? Same shit to me.
Not cool.
No, it's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same.
It is the same.
I think. Let me tell you something. I don't want to stick that penis
in my mouth now after that. Like, I'm good.
Okay, hold on. So, Mano, go ahead. Let's hear this explanation.
I feel like it's a deeper conversation that we just not having. I just feel like...
Listen, the show is called I'm Here for the Food, okay? Food for thought, food for the soul.
I'm saying men in general. Like, if men really was honest with women about some of the turmoil that we go through trying to balance that line of being loyal or faithful to the women in our lives, like, we'll have a lot... It'd be better situations, like, because the expectancy would be different.
Okay, so let me ask you this: What is an inconvenient truth that men hold back from telling women because they automatically assume she's not going to be able to handle it? Pick one or two of them.
I ain't fucked that girl.
Huh? What?
I ain't fucked that girl.
Is this the truth?
That sounds like a lie.
That's a lie.
Okay.
That's a lie, but we tell that lie because we in love with the woman, and we know that she can't handle that truth.
So what is the inconvenient truth? Why did he fuck such women? Like, let's just say he could actually tell the truth.
See, the thing, that's what I'm saying. Like, men are not being honest and telling you about the demons that they actually fighting, like, because we built a little bit different, right? So it's like, love is a feeling. Monogamy is what? A rule. Mm-hmm. Monogamy is a man-made rule. right? Okay. Is it natural? That's up for debate, because if it was natural, it would be a lot easier. It would flow easier. That a man could have the greatest situation at home, the best wife, that, you know, he could be doing everything, and she could be letting bring girls home and everything. It could be great for him, right? And he'd still walk into a room and be like, damn, I want to fuck every bitch in here. Shit, you see the bitches?
Okay,
like,
an inconvenient truth is that love and monogamy are mutually exclusive concepts to most men. They do not, one does not equal the other. I can be in love with you and still want to fuck the entire strip club.
I could be the best. I could be the provider. I could be the protector. I could be Karen. I could be all these things and still fall off into a situation.
Into some vagina. No, yeah. How about this? Because I'm listening to this, right? And I've been in a situation where I wouldn't call it, we had an open relationship, because it wasn't like, you know, we were swingers and then you did. It was more I would call, like, that was my dude. Like when we got together and it was just like fucking a rock. It was just great. Right. Mm-hmm. Those 3 times a month we got together, and then you went on and you flowed into the world and did you, and I did me. We didn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. If you had a question, you asked, I answered, and then we continued like nothing ever happened. Mm-hmm. I haven't found a balance, because I'm the type of woman today that I'm not going to ask my man, did you fuck this girl? Like, I'm not going to look through his phone either, because, you know, you're going to look, you're going to find, and you know, a man's not going to be 100% honest about that shit because he's afraid that it might hurt you. So then I've been a girl as well, a woman that been able to have that kind of relationship with a man. Like, yo, so what I read on the blog, like, so that's what you do in my, oh, come on, Tahiri, yo, come, you did. And he's like, yeah, you know, but she wasn't nasty enough. All right, cool. We move on. Mm-hmm. And we keep dating. Mm-hmm. But the relationship never went anywhere. Like, there's a thin line. Like, I don't know how to balance being that woman that every man wants, the woman that's cool with just you being you, and the woman that you can't, that you have to lie to. Cause like that guy, we stayed on that level of just kind of like friendship fucking, and it had moved to something bigger, but I was the kind of woman that every man would want. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, how do you transition from, when you give a man so much freedom, that shit just might stay there and it won't turn into...
I'll tell you what that is, because this was another conversation that I had with my girlfriend, is there's a difference between standards and boundaries.
Okay.
And people need to isolate what the two are, the differences between the two. And boundaries are what you allow to happen and what you do not allow to happen. Standards are, oh, I want him to be kind. I would like him to be conservative in his voting preferences. I would like for him to like fucking cats, you know, standards or whatever. I'd like him to, you know, have a high level of hygiene, whatever. Mm-hmm. But boundaries are what you allow, what is permissible and non-permissible in your life as it relates to your non-negotiables, you know, when it comes to respect. When it comes to just how somebody,
I just feel like at this stage, like, you just gotta let people be. Because if, I mean, all that shit is good, is all good, but
it's to a certain extent, because, you know, there that saying that people only treat you how you allow them to treat you.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And so if you let somebody know with zero uncertainty that certain shit just does not fly and that it is a non-negotiable, not like we couldn't even be friends if this is a line that you cross, then that is their decision as to whether or not they want to cross the line. But there's got to be a penance to pay, because the minute that you know, put ease up on your boundaries that you have clearly set, then they're always going to know, you know, that they can push you back. They're always going to know that you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. That's just human nature. That's not even a man-woman thing.
I just feel like you have to just let motherfuckers be, because no matter what, in the beginning, you'll meet their representative. And then, you know, you have to know what kind of crazy you're willing to deal with, or what, like you said, there has to be some type of, you have to put some type of
boundaries,
right? Mm-hmm, so to me, lying is one, but I'm not sitting around here asking you, did you fuck XYZ? Like, you know what I'm saying? Can we move on from that? Right. And I just want to allow a person to be a person, because I don't want to be surprised. Like, yo, if you ain't shit and I fell in love with you, then our lover ain't shit, dude. Like, that's, I'm just super, super real with it.
Yeah,
I'm super real with it. And being super real, sometimes that's what happened. The nigga took a yard, and it, we stayed on that level, and I had to cut him off.
Right. So you're saying it's not a lot of growth when you too real, you let a nigga.
Yeah. Well, that has been my experience.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But it's about managing expectation, because the truth of the matter is, no situation is 100. So we're looking at all these situations where everybody got these love goals and these relationship goals. I only see one Russell Wilson.
You know what I'm saying? He's so amazing. Like, I need that prayer. That prayer.
I'm just keeping it like a band. Like it's not. We put these expectations on these relationships, and everybody wants this figurative fucking love of happily ever after, and it's really not happening.
Mm-hmm. That's why I am that type of person today, where I'm like, yo, come with what you come with. And that is my choice to accept it, take it, embrace it. But it has to be mutual. It has to be reciprocated. Take me for who I am, what I've been through, what I'm going through. How can we understand each other and gel? I don't want you to change.
Poe, you sounded exasperated right now. Go ahead.
Because it is exhausting. Like, it's just in the sense of, like, relationships, you got to take somebody's shit. You're going to give them shit. Like, oh, you're this way. Here's one thing, right? You got to have the energy to be in a relationship if you want a real relationship. I'll be honest with you right now. I don't have the energy for it, because it's just like I when it comes to relationships, I'm a realist. And when it comes to men, I'm a realist when it comes to them. And fuck it, myself. Like like y'all said, it's only one Russell Wilson. Do I believe that monogamy is possible? No, I don't. Not at all.
Have you always, Poe, have you always felt that way, or have your
I've always felt that way.
Okay.
I've always felt that way. When it comes to men, I've been monogamous, but like with men, it's also your definition of what you consider love. Like, that is also important. And that is also it's evergreen. Like, your definition of love changes the older you get and the more experiences you get.
You're right.
You know what I mean? And your definition of a relationship changes. Mm-hmm. So either you're going to be happy or you, like, I don't know. It's all about your happiness, your growth. And
see, everybody looking for relationships to make them happy, but the happiness got to come from within.
Me. Like,
That's why I like that, because you could the big house, the cars outside, everything, and bitch still not happy. Like, what?
Miserable. Yeah, who wants miserable that? I see a lot of that, though.
None of that matters. Like, the happiness cannot, you can't try to look for happiness in a relationship. You got to make yourself happy. You got to be happy with who you are, because if you're not happy within, then no relationship is going to matter. Like,
Think about the person that found love early and they've been blessed to be in these relationships for a long time, which they're rare nowadays. And they come from our parents, where people are together 20 and 30 years, but they've been through some shit together. Then think about the person, mad shit, kids outside. Like, you've been through shit.
Grandpa fuck around, got other kids.
So think about the people like us that, you know, we've had to go through this shit, and some of us in the public eye, and it's just growing pains and stuff. It's still a blessing, because whenever we do not settle, because most people will settle, and I see a lot of that too, those that don't settle and eventually get to where they need to be with who they're supposed to be with, it's beauty, because it's just beautiful, because you've been through so much shit. You know what you want, what you don't want, where you going, what, you know the difference between the standards and setting boundaries. You've been through so much shit that you're able to give the best you to somebody that is able to give you their best them as well. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so beautiful to be out here and experience and do what the fuck you got and learn from your mistakes. They tell the best stories.
I feel like, I know that you feel me, both you and Poe, where we get asked, you know, why hasn't anybody claimed you? Why are you still unmarried? Why do you still not have children at your age? And I'm just like, I've had to come to terms with the fact that I lived a very non-traditional life. And I've had a lot of fucking fun. Mm-hmm. And I just refused to kind of, I refused to settle. I would have been married four or five times over if I wanted to.
wanted to settle, but that shit was always going to make drive me crazy and probably would have led me to cheat.
And when women know, though, I said no to three rings. Like, the last ring you guys saw on TV, that was my third ring that I looked at and said, oh,
she's stunting now. She's stunting. I said no to three rings.
I did. I was engaged to my first when I was in college. Mm-hmm. Then came another guy in my mid-20s. And then came this one,
I respect
8 years ago.
I respect that because I feel like
one drunken proposal.
Married for the wrong reasons, just for the sake of being married. It was just for the sake of being able to call themselves a wife. So, I mean, if you know that you're not in the situation that you want to be in, then what's the sense of just being married? It's just for that look or what society, you know, deems as you being successful.
Yeah, I have a girlfriend who literally, she started dating a guy. When I tell you that every single person was telling her, run, don't walk, run away from this guy, don't do it, stop, just end everything. She didn't. She got married to him. And when I say inside of a year, her life fucking collapsed. And he basically abandoned her. It was like the worst thing to see my friend go through, but she was just very concerned with what this meant. The fact that this finger was like, had no ring on it. You know what I mean? And people were perceiving her because she was getting up there in age. And so if she hadn't been married by a certain time, she just felt unworthy.
And you put them pressures on themselves for no reason. Right. You putting that pressure, I'm 30, I ain't married yet. Like, fuck all that. Because now you're in a rush.
Mina, does that pressure even, I don't think that men feel the same pressure.
I don't believe in feeling no pressure about nothing.
But I don't believe the society puts that kind of pressure on men. They put it on us, heavily on us. I have strangers ask me daily, why don't you have children? I said, get the fuck out of my uterus.
I think that's an antiquated way of thinking. I think that's old
school. Okay, antiquated. Yes,
I think that that's a lost way of thinking. Like, nobody's thinking like that no more. Like, that pressure to feel married just for the sake of being married and feeling established just for what you think that it means. Nah, like, because you putting that on yourself. You want to live. I have females tell me that, I'm getting up there. I'm 28, 29. I need to be married. You putting that on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But marriage isn't for everyone, though. Marriage isn't for everyone. Right. Having kids isn't for everyone. I wanted 8 kids when I was younger. Poe said it the best. You know, your definitions of relationship, of love, of family, all of that changes as you grow and you learn and you experience. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do I feel the pressure of having kids? Yes, because I want to have kids. And because eventually our women, our clocks, you know, our eggs and all that shit that happens.
They get scrambled.
Mm-hmm. They get scrambled. So you have to kind of keep that in mind when it comes to children. But when it comes to marriage, like, not everybody's, I hate restrictions. I hate limitations. I hate being put in a box and what people think supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. I've always been against it, which is why I'm an entrepreneur. My mom calls me crazy all the time, which is why I live my life the way I want to live my life. I do what I want when I want to and how I want to. And that's just how I like it. Mm-hmm. So me being married and having a traditional wedding sounds crazy boring as fuck. Mm. I never wanted to be mommy, daddy, girl, and boy. Like, and we out to dinner and we look boring as fuck.
Yeah, the nuclear family.
I need different. I need crazy. Like, I can't do what society.
Huh?
You know what I mean? Crazy as in my kids is running around being expressive and have hair fucking mohawk. And my wedding wouldn't be the ice thing. It'd be probably everybody, you know, rolling up tobaccos and everybody got flip-flops on at the beach type shit. Like, that nothing traditional. Like, traditional.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm gonna have wine at 9 a.m. I'm gonna have wine. Good morning, honey. And your eggs are right here.
Cheers.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, I get that. I agree with that. Like, I think that the three of us have kind of lived our lives in a non-traditional way, just in terms of not following the path of, you know, finding a mate, getting married, having kids by a certain age. We've just been kind of like flying by the seat of our pants and making it hot for ourselves as life has come at us, you know, and dealt with the circumstances that have been presented to us as best as we can. But I will say that, Mano, society is conditioned to feel this way about women. They do not put this kind of pressure on men. You guys can be bachelors for life and nobody would fucking say shit to you. Indeed. But let us do things like that. We are questioned about it. I could show you my DMs. How come you're not a mom? Like, literally yesterday, you know, based on what I look like.
You know what? and when we find ourselves trying to fit inside that box, and we're stars, and you're trying to fit into the shape of a box, it puts a lot of pressure on you mentally. Yeah. And it starts to fuck with your head.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm trying to fit into this normality that doesn't exist in my mind, right, in my heart, in my soul.
And it's not real.
It's not real. And I'm not saying I ain't never going to get married or anything like that. To be quite honest, I'll probably just get knocked up and be quite happy and just be fine. But my reality changes. When I was younger, I've had kids. When I was younger, I wasn't like 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. You know, I got a relationship. I was like, oh shit, this is happening now. Mm-hmm. Cut to he's married with 3 now. And they not mine or not his wife. But I'm just saying. Maybe, right? Yes, with the spray paint though. But no, so it's just like when you find yourself trying to fit into something that doesn't, but society beat it in your head and you think that I'm immune to that bullshit. But in all reality, you know what? I'm fucking human. Mm-hmm. I forgot. I thought I was X-Men. Mm-hmm. No. I'm not. You know, so everybody's like, well, you gonna have your baby freeze your eggs. You freeze my eggs. Get the fuck out. Come on. Fuck out of here.
No, you know what's funny about that egg shit? What's funny about that egg shit? I keep saying it's like part of my list of the to-dos. I prioritize like freezing eggs, right? Like 4 years ago. And every year I'm like, fuck, I didn't freeze my eggs, man, because I don't even feel 40. I'm like, did I just
forget?
I'm like, I just spent 10 grand at, did I just buy this for my birthday? And I forgot I got to freeze my eggs, bitch. Where's the time going? I'm 40 already. I don't feel it. Fuck it. Every year I'm going to freeze my eggs.
I would like to say for the group, I'm not 40 yet.
Okay, that's cool. I'm beautiful. I love
you. You guys are fucking incredible. I mean, I'm not far off from it, but I'm just saying like that pressure is not real.
Yeah. It's imaginary.
It's not real. It's the stuff
that we invent. Yeah. It's the stuff that we allow.
Yeah. It's the way we're conditioned.
That shit been indoctrinated in women's heads since before y'all was born. Like it's been put in y'all when y'all was in the womb. Like y'all have to be married with kids, happy. Mm-hmm. You know, one man. Mm-hmm. That's been. It's in school, it's in church, it's mm-hmm. every part of society. It's in the movies, but it ain't real.
Yeah.
That shit is not real. The only time it becomes real is when you give it energy mm-hmm. and you make it grow and it manifests. Mm-hmm. Now it's real. And mm-hmm. we made the conscious decision to make it that way. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, and that's how
everybody has their own definition of happy. And everybody, like everybody's in control of their own story. And that's why I look around and whenever somebody's hating or whenever people have their opinions and everybody's entitled to them. And I even tell my mom, I'm like, yo, like, this is my motherfucking book. I am the author. This is what I want. This is how it's going. And this is how I'm taking life. And whoever doesn't like it doesn't have to even turn a page. Like, I am good.
Yeah,
like right. That is just because you did it doesn't mean I have to do it. And I think that when people realize that we all have the same 24 hours and we do as we choose to do mm-hmm. with those, and then people will be okay. Like, look, you chose to go left, I went right. Mind your business.
Yeah,
as long as it doesn't affect you, mind your business.
Exactly. No, I wholeheartedly agree. I do. Okay, so listen, I'm gonna wrap this up because I know you all are very busy people. So I thank you so much because. If y'all understand, I'm going to put a little blooper reel or something like that to show you guys what we had to go through in order to get this loaded up. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Yes. I am so glad you guys could join me today. I really enjoyed this. And this is the best part about the fact that this whole thing has happened. I've had to take the show online is I get to talk to my friends across the country.
So how do you usually do the show?
I do it in studio in LA, right. Like my studio's in Hollywood and on the 18th floor, skyscraper views and shit like that. It's super sexy. I have food. I have wine for guests. It's a whole thing. So
look at Melissa.
I know.
She's so fancy.
Hey, Melissa just kind of, you know, she pressed a stunt button on us. 18th floor,
view.
I got wine and food.
So listen. I am saying that the invitation is open once the fucking, you know, we're allowed to go outside again. The door is open for you guys to join me in the studio. Whenever you guys are in LA, please come by. By the way, whenever we have a guy on the episode, we call these episodes dick in a box. You know, every once in a while, we want to pull a dick out of the box and ask it for its opinion. What'd you say? So today you were in the dick in the box, Mato. It's a serious accomplishment.
Does the dick come out the box?
We just put the dick out the box and ask it for its opinion.
So yeah. I'm the dick.
You have a penis. You have one. Yes. You are in very good company. Okay. Like Dr. Michael Eric Dyson. He was one of them. And who else did I have? Ryan Davis. I had Mr. Marcus, the porn star. Oh, wait, no. Let me not call him that. Jesse Spencer. Okay.
Because he changed his name.
We humanized him on the show.
He has a name.
We humanized him on the show. He is a church going father of two. Did you all know that?
Two daughters.
And one of them is like graduating with a master's in journalism from USC. It's brilliant. Anyways, that's what porn paid for. I digress. So anyways, thank you guys for joining me. And thank you all for joining us on I'm Here for the Food. Remember, we're on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and iHeart. Until next time, see y'all later.
Bye. Bye. Stay safe.
Bye. Bye.
If you like our show and the content we're featuring, please hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, and just like your Uber driver asks, leave us a 5-star rating. Also, please leave us a review about your favorite part of the show or your number one takeaway from the episode. We read all the reviews, and this will only help us curate the content that you want to see and hear. Thanks, guys.